Call the meeting of the Energy Finance and Policy Division to order. Spite of appearances to the contrary, a quorum has been present. the clerk will take the roll, and Representative Welty, you had a chance to peruse the minutes from whatever date that was.
Yes, Mr. Chair, I move the minutes of the March 19th, 2008 meeting.
The motion for the approval of the minutes has been made. Are there any additions or corrections? Seeing none, all those in favor of the motion, please signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Those opposed? Minutes are adopted. Members, the sole purpose for the meeting today is to work up our budget proposal to be passed along to the Finance Committee and included in the omnibus finance bill. In order to accomplish that, we have called up a bill that has been in our possession since the last session, House File 2305, and I would move that House File 2305 be before us for consideration. And in addition, then, members, I would move the DE A08-1489 amendment, which would amend the budget proposal into House File 2305. Is there any discussion to that motion? Representative Osmond.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Do you want us to raise questions with regard to the amendment now, or you want to get the bill into the form?
If you have no objection, I would think we should just adopt the amendment and then we can discuss the bill.
All right.
There's no further discussion. All those in favor of the motion to approve the DE, let me make sure I have the number right. The A08-1489 amendment, please signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Those opposed? Motion prevails. Amendment is adopted. Representative Osmond to the bill.
Thank you, sir. There's a couple of issues that come to my mind. One's on page 5, section 5, standards for state lighting fixtures, and I think we heard this last year.
We did, Representative Osmond. It was in a much more complex form. This is the stripped down version that actually was in the omnibus finance bill at the end of last session. It was dropped in conference largely because it had not been considered in the Senate at that time, and some of the Senate members had reservations, particularly about potential costs. We do have a fiscal note that shows that there is no cost to this, and in fact, likely there would be saving, at least according to the author. This was Representative Kahn's bill, which, as I said, started out in much more elaborate form, and this is how it ended up through the committee process, and I don't think at this point there is any controversy remaining about the bill.
Mr. Chair, just to clarify, because I'm reading this and trying to recollect back as to what was there before, but the the way this is worded, it seems to impact only where state funds are being expended. Is that correct?
That's my understanding as well, yeah.
All right. Then I have another question on page 6 with regard to the definitions there in section 6. I have lost track of this one. I don't recall exactly where this came from.
This came from the Department of Commerce, Representative Osment. If they want to address
that department request,
address that as a department request.
All right. Thank you, Mr.
Members, if there are no further questions at this time, I'd ask Mr. Soderberg to kind of walk us through the bill. I can mention before he gets into particulars some of the highlights. Basically, the target that we were given by leadership was to find a negative $12,146,000 balance in the bill. The bill, as proposed, does meet that target. That's approximately roughly $4 million above or below, depending on how you look at it, the governor's recommendations for this division. It's accomplished almost entirely through transfers from existing funds within the purview of the division in the Commerce Committee. And we'll ask Mr. Soderberg to walk us through the bill and hopefully answer any questions that might arise. Mr. Soderberg, if you want to stay there, that's fine.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I'll be brief since the spreadsheet is pretty brief, and I'll just start out on line 5, which is an operating budget reduction. You may recall that was for part of the governor's recommendation. The majority of the reductions will be accomplished through the administration programs within the Department of Commerce, as well as some money in the savings in the Office of Energy Security. The next one, which is on-claim property compliance, $130,000 under the House File 2305, the Lead All Amendment. This would provide for additional staffing to beef up the compliance in the on-claim property work over at the department. The next one is a Do Not Call program work load adjustment. It's $270,000 starting in this fiscal year and then continuing ongoing. The base appropriation for this program is $299,000. The state Do Not Call program preceded the federal Do Not Call program, and with the federal program, the workload with the state program is dropped off significantly. The next one is the solar rebate program. There would be a one-time $300,000 infusion at fiscal year 08 immediately from the general fund, and that, is, like I said, is one-time. Moving on to the special revenue fund, the first two listed there under special revenue are a couple of Representative Johnson's initiatives. One is a broadband, and it probably should say service mapping project. It was House File 2959. It's being funded out of the Telecommunications Access Minnesota, the TAM fund. Yeah, it would be a one-time funding of $175,000. The second one would also be out of the TAM fund, and that would be for the state video franchising study of $85,000. The next one is a governor's initiative. It's commonly called the B-20 bill. I believe it's Representative Junkie. This In the House File 2305, delete all amendments. The appropriation out of existing appropriation is being carried. It was $500,000 for bio facilities. I believe that was cold weather blending infrastructure grants, and the other one was a research grant for that LG to biodiesel, a joint venture of the university and the Met Council. So overall, the totals, you can see it, I won't go through them. Basically, the House File 2305 would be, in the first biennium, would be $110,000 more reduction than the governor recommended. The bill totals are the department, and then finally I'll get into the transfers. There are several cancellations, revenues, and transfers in the proposed bill. The first one's a repeal. I just put it there because there was a big dollar amount that was in the governor's recommendations within the department. That has been transferred over to the House Tax Committee for consideration. That's the repeal of the mutual fund fee cap. You'll recall that was like a $20 million, $20.5 million initiative in this biennium, $22 million in the out biennium. The next one's the on-claim property compliance. By beefing up the compliance efforts, it's expected to yield additional revenues to the state. In this biennium, the expected amount is 2 to 1. For every dollar we spend, we should be receive additional revenue of 2. In the out biennium, it's 6 to 1, the difference being beefing up the program, getting new staff, training, and the like. The next item on line 35 is the fraud squad to seize assets. This is that initiative that was just mentioned. It was the governor's request that that the insurance fraud division at the department be authorized to seize assets, and there's just a very small fiscal impact of the out biennium of $1,000 a year. The next one is the renewable hydrogen initiative cancellation. You may recall that I believe this was a $3.25 million initiative in last year's bill, and the idea would be that $2.6 million of that would be canceled to the general fund. The next one is the insurance fraud prevention account transfer. Again, you may recall that the governor proposed $2 million transfer out of that fund. House File 2305 would do a $3.5 million transfer out of the fund. The next one is the real estate education research recovery account transfer. This is a House File 2305 initiative only. It's a $1.35 million in 09, one time. The next one is the consumer education account transfer of $100,000 one time, and the auto theft prevention account transfer of $230,000 one time. The final one is the telephone assistance fund transfer, oftentimes called the TAP. This was the governor's recommendation, and the House File 2305 incorporates that recommendation for a $4 million transfer. You can see the totals, the respective totals. The difference in the transfer amount is about, $3,440,000. So the differences on page 2, you can see the net general fund impact, and the chairman has been through those, so I won't repeat it to give you kind of an idea of what the target was, how this compares to the target, as well as comparisons to the governor's recommendations. And finally, it's just a resolution or a non-general fund, the transfers, what the effects are on the non-general fund revenues. And that's it.
Questions from members? At this point, we do have a couple of amendments to deal with. Representative Western.
Mr. Chair, a couple questions. First of all, the TAM funds, Mr. Chair, that surplus is from the tax collected on the phone bills, I'm assuming. That money is dedicated, isn't it usually dedicated to the hard of hearing programs? Is there that big of a surplus? What's that going to do when we take $4 million about out of there?
Mr. Soderberg?
Mr. Chairman, Representative Westerbeck. there's actually two funds being transferred from. The TAM funds that you speak of, you're right, this one, the money goes for a lot of the relay systems and also equipment for the hard of hearing. That fund does have a surplus, but it's kind of a rolling program. And at the end of this fiscal year, it looks like it's going to have about $1.76 million, and this would take that down to $1.5 million. But the program itself is similar to what the governor is recommending for the TAP program, and that's the $4 million one. $260,000 is about a third of a cent per month on a telephone. So it'd be about 4 cents a year. Just to give you a perspective, the other program, the $4 million, is the telephone assistance plan, and that's the one that it piggybacks with the federal lifeline program for $1.75 a month to help low-income people and elderly people with their phone calls or their phone costs. Does that answer your question?
It does. Other than what,
Representative Western,
Mr. Chair, what? $4 million. What would that go to otherwise if we didn't take it out of this fund, or would the tax be reduced by the PUC until the fund is used up? What's the net result, and where's that money not going to be used now?
Mr. Silverberg, can you shed any light on that?
Mr. Chairman, I really believe maybe the department would be better. I mean, as the PUC, I can give you what I understand to be the case on this.
The department's fine, Mr. Chair. Or is it your bill, Mr. Chair, or I'm not sure who's carrying it?
It is Representative Lessing. Mr. Harr from the PUC is here, hopefully, to answer the question. Mr. Harr, welcome to the committee.
Mr. Chair, thank you, and members. Representative Lessing, yeah, the $4 million is the TAP fund has a surplus balance, and the commission actually about a year ago took measures to begin to reduce that balance because it balances more than projected to be necessary to fund the program going forward. The commission's action reduced the surcharge, in other words, the inflow of revenues, to bring that fund down. And it would have had the effect of bringing the fund balance down over the course of 3 to 4 years. Basically, what the governor's proposal is here, and which is incorporated in the bill, would be to bring it down in 1 year. And what it would require the commission to do would be to adjust the surcharge back to where it wherever that surcharge would need to be to fund the program going forward. That's something the commission would have had to do eventually anyway, because, as I said, they reduced the surcharge to start to bring that balance down, and once the balance got down, the commission would have had to go back and reestablish the surcharge to fund it going forward. And what we will do, what the commission will have to do now this year, would be to do that sooner rather than later, I guess, is
the answer to your question, Representative
Lester. It does, Mr. Chair, and I thought that was a fee that got reduced, and now it would be raised sooner under this approval. But next question, Mr. Chair. Thank you, Mr. Harr. The hydrogen money from the university, $2.6 million, Mr. Soderbergh, have they just not used much of that money, and what's the net result of taking that money? I assume that's dollars that we would use towards research for these projects. Is that the net result, is that money won't be available?
Mr. Soderbergh.
Mr. Chairman, Representative Westrum, and members, I'm going to give you the latest I have, and this is as of... I guess it's older than I expected it to be. Let's see if I have a newer one. 226 report, and I'm going to look at the hydrogen. It looks like the original allotment was a 3.25 $5 million appropriated, and it looks like to date they've obligated $65,000 of it. But yes, I mean, obviously if you're going to be canceling $2.6 million, it'll be eventually $2.6 million will not be available for hydrogen research.
Thank you.
Are there further questions at this time? Seeing none, as I said, there are amendments. Representative Johnson, I believe you have the AOA 1514 amendment.
That's correct, Mr. Chair. I'd like to move that amendment. And I'd also like to make a verbal amendment to it. After the word insert, add the words for transfer, just to some clarifying language. So the line would then read, after appropriation, insert for transfer to the Board of Regents of the University of Minnesota. This deals, Mr. Chair and members, with the statewide franchising study, and essentially what it does then is, at the Department of Commerce request, is direct the University of Minnesota to do the study. And the plus side of that is that it saves time and money for the Department of Commerce by the RFP process, and use our good institution or at the university to get the work done. So that's the long and short of it.
Any discussion to the amendment? Seeing none, all those in favor of the adoption of the AO 81514 amendment as amended, please signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Those opposed? That amendment is adopted. We have two other amendments. Representative Kalin has one. I was going to take up next, but since he has not yet arrived, I believe the Transportation Committee is in competition with us and apparently has a lot of interesting and controversial things going on there. So we'll defer the Kalin amendment until he gets here, hopefully. So what we would take up next then is your amendment, Representative Knuth.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. My amendment is the 1518 amendment, and I'd like to move that amendment. And it basically what it does is it's using money we've already appropriated under the Renewables Development Fund to pay for a cap and trade study. And when we sent that bill out of our committee, it had an assessment for additional renewable development funds money in it, and this is a way to not have to do that assessment. And it does that by decreasing the appropriation for the biodiesel blending infrastructure. And I talked to the department, and they think they can do what they need to do with $250,000. And then it takes another $250,000 to make a total of $500,000 to pay for that study. And this money we appropriated last year for renewable energy research grants, and there's $2 million that was appropriated last year, and this would be part of that.
Any questions to that amendment? Representative Westrom.
I thought staff was sending me the amendments. I don't have any copies of amendments yet. We can just hold it for a minute.
Representative Westrom, our understanding is that the revisor was sending those. I don't know if you can check again, or
I did just
what the situation
not
is.
Not Mr. Chair, but I'll look again.
Okay. Representative Westrom, if you recall, it's Representative Junkie's B-20, the biodiesel bill, appropriated from the Renewable Development Fund $500,000 for the biodiesel infrastructure project that involved the terminals that are located outside of Minnesota that are currently requiring splash blending of biodiesel in, I think, both southwestern and northwestern corners of the state. We have had conversations with the Department of Commerce about this, as Representative Knuth pointed out, and I think a number of members had kind of reservations about basically sending $500,000 to the Dakotas to help develop privately owned infrastructure to begin with, and I think the department is in agreement that they can do what they need to in this negotiation with the $250,000. So that's where $250,000 of Representative Knuth's proposal would come from, and then the rest of the amendment simply reads that up to $500,000, and this refers back to the appropriation from the RDF, must be used for the cap and trade governance and economic and emissions studies required in 2008 House File 3195, and further states that the appropriation for the cap and trade studies is available only if House File 3195 or legislation, requiring the studies is enacted. That's the entirety of the amendment.
Well, Mr. Chair, we can proceed, but maybe you can carry the message back. There seems to be a repeated problem that somewhere along the line the DFL staff doesn't seem to want to get amendments down here in time, and we got delete all amendments coming, I understand, and it's easier to look the language over when needed, when it's in front of you, and so this amendment maybe isn't a particular problem, but it's been a repeated problem all year, and so I understand the next amendment's going to be a little lengthier. It's easy when you're in the majority and you've got, you know, the amendment's a long time ahead, but when you're in the minority, Mr. Chair, we don't usually get the amendments till sitting at the table. So.
I appreciate that, Representative Westrom, and I apologize. We thought we had the supervisor's office clued into the necessity of doing this, but we will certainly carry that message. Is there further discussion to the 1518 amendment?
So, Mr. Chair, a question.
Representative Westrom.
Question on this amendment. Essentially, if we approve this, we're going to take money from cold weather biodiesel and blending, and then fund the cap and trade study. Is that what we're attempting to do here?
Well, Representative Westrom, my understanding is that of the $500,000 that was initially appropriated for the blending infrastructure project, of the Department of Commerce is of the opinion currently that they can accomplish what they're attempting to do in negotiating with the Dakotas and Iowa with $250,000. So, yes, it would be taking it from that infrastructure project.
So, Mr. Chair, it seems to me that this is going to fund a new study when the rest of the bill is cutting. Wouldn't it make more sense to maybe not start new studies when we're short of money and maybe not reduce hydrogen research quite as dramatically versus starting a new program that we'd be at least studying? Wouldn't that be an alternative, Representative Knuth?
Mr. Chair, this is money that's already been appropriated for renewable energy research grants, it then is being taken from those renewable energy research grants and directed to specific projects, one of which is a biodiesel blending infrastructure project, and the other of which is a algae to biofuels research project. So this cap and trade, getting it right, is pretty important for our renewable energy development, and this study is really about getting cap and trade right. I think it's for the department to talk about the appropriation right now, which is basically using renewable development funding for an infrastructure grant that is likely going to be used in South Dakota. And I'm not going to touch that $250,000, but I do think we also need to be aware of that.
Representative Knuth, are you taking some of the biodiesel algae research dollars as well, did you say?
Representative Knuth.
Mr. Chair, Representative Westrum, no, I'm not.
Representative Westrum?
Well, Mr. Chair, I guess I would ask for a roll call on this. Seems to me, in fact, I would even ask Mr. Eloff if he could, if it would be easy enough to make an amendment to this. I think we should, rather than go down the road of a new study that we fund when we're short of money, and we're going to cut hydrogen research out, Mr. Eloff, would there be a way to direct this $500,000 towards to replenish some of the hydrogen cuts that are coming instead of this program?
Well, Representative Westrum, I would remind you that the cut to the hydrogen initiative is the governor's proposal that we just decided to acquiesce to. Perhaps someone from the Department of Commerce would care to speak to why the governor made that proposal, but it did not come from this committee.
Well, Mr. Chair, it is actually coming from this committee. The governor can't pass legislation. We don't have to follow the governor's recommendations to a T. In fact, I would guess when all is said and done, we won't follow his recommendations to a T. And so it would be my suggestion that maybe we look at not starting a new study with $500,000 and rather keep in play some current research dollars that are going to go to some valuable research that we approved last year.
Well, Representative Westrum, as regards what you're referring to as a new study, I should point out that this study is referring to negotiations that the state of Minnesota is engaged in with other states in the region that's going to go forward, whether we do any kind of study to suggest what ought to or ought not to be included in those negotiations. So I don't think this is really, I would not regard it as a new initiative. It is something that is clearly related to governor's multi-state initiative that is going on currently.
So, Mr. Mahir, then are the other states going to kick in $500,000 towards this study as well? I would guess not.
But maybe Representative Knuth knew it's different. Is that what's happening, Representative Knuth?
Representative, Mr. Chair, Representative Westrom, this is making sure Minnesota has a cap-and-trade program that works for Minnesota, and I think one of the things we all agree on is that a regional system would work better, would serve Minnesota's interests better, and I think this study is a way to figure out what would work best in our state. And it would be a state-specific study with the extent of a regional cap-and-trade program being negotiated. Obviously, there is impact regionally as well. But it is an ongoing process that's happening. And just to be clear, the money appropriated in this bill that I'm that we have here is are new initiatives as well, is my understanding. But I don't want to go after those and make them not work. The $250,000 is what the department has said it needs to do to do what it's trying to accomplish, what it needs to do what it's trying to accomplish. The appropriation this is directing more specifically is a $2 million appropriation. And so those grants will they'll still be some of that money left for renewable energy research grants as well.
Mr. Chair, I didn't really get an answer to my question, but I think I'll imply that the answer is no, Representative Knuth, because one, we can't bind other states, and I haven't seen any compact or heard of any compact that other states are going to match our funding. Looks to me like if this passes, we're going to be a little like a mini UN. We're going to get to do what the United States does, fund the bulk part of the expense of something and then let everybody else benefit. I don't know why we would do that when we've got a budget shortfall and we're trying to reduce areas that we appropriated last year, and now we're gonna fund a new program or study here. It just doesn't make sense to me why that would be the priority coming through this committee. I just think people ought to question.
Well, Representative Westrom, I would hope that the other states are doing whatever they feel is necessary to define and protect their own interests in these negotiations as they go forward as well. I guess that's up to them to define what that is, but I think that it is possible to regard it as appropriate that as long as the negotiations are taking place, that we at least have some assurance that what is being discussed fits the needs of the state of Minnesota.
Well, Mr. Chair, I'll leave it at that. I'll ask for a roll call, and I would suggest committee members vote against this and not fund a new study program when you're in a budget deficit.
Is there further discussion to the amendment? Seeing none, roll call having been requested, the clerk will take the roll. Chair votes aye.
Beard? Lye?
Aye.
Reinert?
Aye.
Gardner? Gunther?
Aye.
Hackbush?
No.
Happy? Johnson?
Aye.
Kalen? Knuth?
Aye.
Magnus? Nornis?
No.
Osmond?
Aye.
Peterson?
Aye.
Reed?
Yes.
Taylor?
Aye.
Slocum? Eugenius?
Yes.
Wilkie?
No.
Westrom?
No.
Representative Kalen is here if you want to.
Can
Representative Kalin. How would you like to vote? On the Canoes Amendment.
Aye. I want to vote no.
You could have agreed in the hall to wait a couple of minutes. Representative Beard is voting on the Canoes Amendment. It's the AO 81518 amendment. There being 12 ayes and 5 nays, the motion prevails. The amendment is adopted. Members, we do have one other amendment. Representative Kalin, AO 81495 amendment. Representative Kalin.
Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Tell us what this says.
It does good stuff. I'd ask you to support it. Sorry, I thought that's how this...
There might be some questions, Representative Kalin.
Mr. Chair and members, this is the Green Jobs Amendment. I'll tell you first, I'll go through the amendment first. Without addressing the assessment and the funding provisions and deal with those last, the first pages deal with the 116J section of statute. It is the economic development statute. The bill represents the contents of House Files 3998 and 3999. The provisions under 116J were heard in Representative Rocavina's Committee on Higher Ed and Workforce Development. It defines the green economy as any product, process, method, technology, or service intended to meet any of the 5 goals, standards, or objectives that we have established in the environmental sector and have been signed into law: our renewable energy standard, our energy efficiency and conservation goal, the greenhouse gas emissions reduction goal, our clean water legacy program that Representative Osmond has worked so diligently and effectively on, and our 25 by 2025 biofuel standard, or goal, excuse me. And in essence, what the guts of the 116J section of the bill, of the amendment, do is try to line up our strong environmental policies with potential economic growth and activity. I'll just remind members that Representative Peterson and myself and others were at a meeting about 2 months ago at Piper Jaffray downtown, where there was probably $150 billion of investment at around the table of folks that are ready and eager to invest in Minnesota's economy, but there are some hurdles in getting there in terms of the clean energy sectors and the environmental sectors. The 116J 0.575 section, section 7, merely adds the green economy project to eligible Greater Minnesota Business Infrastructure grants. The section 8 makes green economy projects eligible for existing funding for workforce development grants. And then section 9 asks the Department of the Commissioner of Commerce, in consultation with Commissioner Deed, to look at all the state grant and loan programs administered by any state agency to optimize the growth of the green economy, with a report back to legislative committees with primary jurisdiction over energy, environmental, and economic development, finance, or policy by January 15th of next year. Section 10 is the Green Economy Transformation Task Force that grew out of a discussion that actually I think initiated with the mayors of our 2 largest cities, as part of the plug-in electric hybrid task force, that really identified that there are a lot of hurdles and we need a lot of brains and very talented and committed brains and eyes and ears looking at what those hurdles are in transforming our economy and making it happen as soon as possible. Because members, I can tell you, having been around the country, both on my dime and then also this committee sent me to an inspiring conference in California last fall, people know around the world and around the country the good work that this body has done, and know that other states are beating us to the job growth potential. Iowa, Illinois, North Dakota. We need to, it is a competition with other states. We need to get out front as fast as we can and send a clear message that we are serious about job growth in this sector. The task force needs to present to the legislature, again by January 15th of next year, and to the governor, a statewide action plan for transforming the economy, looking at those five sectors, looking at everything from legislative action to market analysis of business opportunities, labor force issues, et cetera. The task force is only in existence for 1 year. And the funding for the task force is from two existing special revenue funds. The first is the Plug-in Electric Hybrid Task Force has upwards of $200,000 that is available to continue their work. And the second is $200,000 from the existing assessment under the Conservation Improvement Program for research and development to implement our strong energy efficiency and conservation goals. And I believe that both of these allocations are entirely consistent with the existing appropriations and assessments and would provide extremely high value and great return on our investment for the state. And would ask the support of members.
Pardon me. Representative Gunther.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Representative Kalin, where did you say the money's coming from?
Representative Kalin?
Representative Gunther, I believe that I'm asking you to write a check today.
Maybe tomorrow. Okay. Where's it coming from today?
$200,000, if you don't write the check tomorrow, will be up to $200,000 from an existing pot that was part of the Plug-in Hybrid Electric Task Force that we passed last year. That's that first 2007 laws.
We got extra money from there.
There's some a little bit of money left over. Excuse me, Mr. Chair, sorry. And Mr. Chair, Representative Gunther, the other $200,000 is an existing pot that has already been assessed that is in the special revenue fund. The Department of Commerce assessed from the utilities. We authorized up to $3.6 million in last year's legislation, the Next Generation Energy Act, and they assessed $2 million of that $3.6 million. And that of that $2 million, this $200,000 will come out of that existing assessment. So there's no new assessments, no new fees, nothing new. It's actually just a redirection of existing funds.
Representative Kalin, another question I have is, you mentioned Iowa's ahead of us in job growth through green building. Is that correct?
Representative Kalin?
Representative Healthy, or Mr. Chair and Representative Gunther, Iowa is ahead of us in attracting wind turbine manufacturing plants. In fact, they have four plants that they've attracted in the last year or year and a half. And one of the ways that they did it is they drew a map with Iowa and Minnesota, and they said, look, Minnesota has this strong standard. We need to build turbines. They need to put them up. We're going to build them down here in Iowa. I think they should be built in Minnesota, as many as possible.
Representative Gelser.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Maybe one of the reasons they're ahead of us in building wind turbines is because we can't find enough people in Pipestone, Minnesota to work there because there's no housing there. Mm-hmm. And consequently, anybody that moves down there and doesn't find a place to bring mom down to be with them or dad ain't going to work. So Susan wishes they wouldn't have been in Minnesota. I wish they would have moved into Iowa because there's no housing for the people that work for us and there's no workforce for them to have. So they're really in a catch-22.
Representative Kalin?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Representative Gunther, I think if you look at actually line 5.16 and 5.17 of the charge of the task force, an analysis of the labor force needs related to the market analysis opportunities. I think you're right on, hit it right on the button that we shouldn't be trucking folks from Austin and Sioux Falls to work in Pipestone. We should be Minnesota workers living in Minnesota, paying Minnesota taxes. And yeah, Representative Magnus, they are actually trucking, from what I understand from the story on public radio, they were shipping them over from Austin and from, say, excuse me, flushing. Flushing that over.
Hogs go to Austin.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. It's called busing.
Representative Gunther.
Magnus, Mr. Chairman, you know, I wouldn't believe everything I read in the New York Times. If I did read it there, I wouldn't believe it necessarily is so. And not to pick on Minnesota Public Radio, but I don't know if they know where Austin is and Pipestone is. That's quite a jaunt from Austin to Pipestone. I don't think they drive them every morning from Austin, but maybe they are. I don't know. I think they...
It was, for the record, the story said Worthington. Galen's wrong.
Mr. Chair, members, I believe that's the second time in the last 60 seconds I have been. So
we are going to run a light rail system from Sioux Falls over to Pipestone. As soon as they get our county to jump into that stuff.
As long as we build it in Minnesota, Representative Mayor.
We get to die of our South Dakota board.
Is there further discussion to the Kalin Amendment? Representative Peters.
Yeah, on page 5, I'll suggest something now. Add some comments. You can think about it. You list top 1, 2, 3, 4, and 5, these things we have in the state. Would you consider it a 6, adding community-based energy development, such as all technologies, not just wind, remember? So that'd be a suggestion. The good news on some of this is that in Lincoln County, just this year, in 08, I can count 20 new green energy jobs. And it's one of the Minnesota's fourth counties and one of the least populated, and 8 operation and maintenance technician jobs for turbines, new turbines that have gone up. In South Dakota, some of our guys are going over there and coming back. And then and 12 manufacturing jobs that are coming out from an established firm in Litchfield, coming out into Lake Benton. So that's the good news. The 20 jobs in Lincoln County is significant. And that's what we advertised as the renewable energy standard was gaining steam or losing momentum, whatever, however you wanted to view it. The bad news is that Verlander's a firm. They're going to make wind turbines, and they're going to go to Butte, Montana. $25 million plant out there. That's not so good. And the second one is, this one hurts a little bit, Nordic Wind Power. I'm 3/4 Scandinavian. Nordic Wind Power is going to Pocatello, Idaho. So, there's two examples, and I think this Representative Kalin and I were onto this a little bit earlier in the session with our effort to see if we get the attention from Vestas for an R&D center. They made a decision independent of this body in place. But there's some good news and there's some bad news. So I'd consider if you would add seabed to your list of 5 and add a 6. If that's appropriate for this section or not, I'm not sure.
Representative Kalin?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And Representative Peterson, I just clarifying question is whether you feel like the technologies that are addressed through seabed developments are implemented adequately under number 1 in the renewable energy standards.
Thank you, Mr. Kalin. I withdraw my suggestion.
Thank you, Representative.
Is there further discussion to the Kalin Amendment? Representative Kalin?
No. Mr. Chair, I just ask for member support.
Any further discussion? Representative Weston.
Mr. Chair, Representative Peterson, I was trying to look through at least the bill version of this amendment. Representative Kalin, how does it cover seabed as a part of the picture? Can you just repeat that?
Representative Kalin?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And Representative Westrum, on page 5, line 1 of the task force, the Green Economy Transformation Task Force, shall develop and present to the legislature a statewide action plan for transforming the economic system of the state to respond to and benefit from, and then listed number 1 is the renewable energy standard in Minnesota statutes, 216B.1691. So all, I believe that the seabed, all the seabed technologies are incorporated under the renewable energy standard technologies currently in law.
Okay.
All right.
Well, the only reason I would maybe call it out specifically is to have the task force maybe weigh in or key on it just a shade more than just the full RES and everything. I mean, they'll key in it at all, but you're the author. That would be the only reason I might agree with what Representative Peterson said by calling it out or putting it in as a separate recognized item in the statute when people are sitting down to look at what our priorities are. It would give it a little more consideration, I would think, but something to just think about
Representative,
if we don't do it today.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Representative Westrum, I think the goal of the community-based economic development statute is to really make sure that the economic gains from the renewable energy or from these seabed projects are happen in Minnesota, and that Minnesota benefits from these this economic development and this renewable energy technology, and that's precisely the goal of the Green Economy Transformation Task Force. So I think their goals are part and parcel of each other, and I think that that I don't feel like there's a need to specifically call it out, but if I or you or anyone else is lucky enough from this committee is lucky enough to sit on the task force, I think that you'll find some very vocal members wanting to focus on seabed as one of the tools that we want to use to bring development to the state.
Further discussion to the amendment? Seeing none, all those in favor of the adoption of the AO81495 amendment, please signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Those opposed?
No.
Motion prevails. The amendment is adopted. Members, I'm aware of no further amendments. Is there further discussion to the bill as amended? Representative Beard.
Mr. Chair, just a question. You know, I had to be out of the room for a little bit helping Representative Kalin with another bill. But did we adopt the delete all amendment called 1489?
Yes, that's correct. We did.
2305 is no longer the...
That's correct, Representative.
Thank you.
That was just a vehicle left over from last session.
That helps my blood pressure go down quite a bit. Thank you.
Mr. Pomeroy at one point had suggested maybe we should just adopt it without amendment, but we decided not to pursue that course, Representative Pierce.
Thank you very much.
Is there further discussion to the bill as amended? Anyone in the audience wish to testify for or against the bill? Seeing no one, I will renew my motion that House File 2305 as amended be recommended to pass and referred to the Committee on Finance. Sure. Representative West.
I'd ask for a roll call.
Roll call being requested, and seeing no further discussion, the clerk will take the roll. Chair votes aye.
Beard?
Nay.
Why? Brenner?
Yes.
Gardner? Gunther?
Aye.
Hackbush?
No.
Hoppy? Johnson?
Aye.
Kalin?
Aye.
Knuth?
Aye.
Magnus?
Aye.
Nornis?
No.
Osmond?
Aye.
Peterson?
Aye.
Rood?
Yes.
Taylor?
Yes.
Tolkien?
Aye.
Virginia?
Yes.
Wilson?
Yes.
Weston?
No.
There being 15 ayes and 4 nays, the motion prevails. The bill is passed as amended to the Finance Committee. Members, we have no further business before the committee today. I would mention that We are contemplating having a couple of informational hearings as we can find time later in the session. One of those that we are discussing is a prospective joint hearing with Representative Mahoney's committee on nuclear energy. Do we have that scheduled? That is at least tentatively scheduled for April 17th, and there may be one or two other issues that we would take up as time allows before the end of session. But with that, we will have no further scheduled meetings until further announcements. Thank you for your participation, Representative Hackworth.
Mr. Chairman, I know it's not about this committee, but the Electrical Energy Task Force, does that have a... Do we know if there's going to be a meeting there at all?
Representative Hackworth, if you recall, I have a bill in progress that would somewhat alter the focus of the Electric Energy Task Force. If that bill passes, I would presume that we would have a meeting of the newly formed Energy Commission. If it doesn't pass, I would anticipate having a meeting as soon as it's feasible to do that of the task force as it's currently constituted. Certainly my intention to keep that body in business. There's no further comments or questions. Meeting is adjourned.